side of this equation, which is why it's content so important. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, David. And let me just get onto the start screen. All right. First of all, a big thanks to the Commerce Commission for inviting me to speak today. It's a great privilege to address the industry, and I think this conference, I hope to see more of these conferences in the future. It's a great opportunity to debate all the big issues. Just to put a little bit of context behind what I'm going to talk about today, I'm a lawyer. I'm a partner in a law firm that mostly does work for telcos and media companies, both here and throughout the Asia Pacific. So I'm probably one of those uninformed sources that Paul was talking about before. Today I'm going to talk about content. It's as opposed to the more of the pipes type focus that we've just been hearing about. And I'm going to start off with showing you something which I don't think anyone else has ever seen, which is my Sky account. I tell you, I was actually a little bit surprised to see it myself when I asked my wife for a copy. The thing in red was the most surprising thing to me. I pay a lot of money to receive Sky. By the way, I've blotted out my address just in case there's any stalkers in the audience. that's about twice as much as I pay for my broadband. And what on earth possesses me to do this? In my case, I watch about 10 to 15 games of rugby a year. It's pretty important when it's on. From my kids' point of view, they love the movies. They tape the movies and watch them endlessly at home. And I think this little unit is pretty terrific. I use this a lot, and although mostly I'm taping TV1, TV2, TV3, free-to-air type stuff over it. But it's a great service. So what's the connection then between the sport, the movies, and this the NGN? And that's what I'm going to talk about this afternoon. I'm going to talk about NGN investment and the sort of risks that this entails. I'm going to talk about IPTV. We've heard a fair bit about that today. And talk a little bit more, and as an early cornerstone service for the NGN. I'm going to talk about the importance of what I'll call premium content, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we go along, to the IPTV business case. And I'm going to talk about Sky and the position that it holds in the market in New Zealand. And I'm going to talk about how the rest of the world looks at the sort of issues that I'm going to go through. Now, undoubtedly, there will be operational savings for NGN investors in rolling out one of these new networks as compared to legacy networks. But the real benefits for NGN investors will probably be in the additional revenue streams that can be expected from the new services that will be able to be provided to consumers, many of which will be high-definition audio-visual. Now, many of these sorts of communications, entertainment, business and social services haven't been invented yet and haven't even been envisaged. We know they're coming, but we don't know when, we don't know what they are, and we don't know how much people are going to pay for them. And of course, neither do the people who will be investing in the NGN. Now, this is what is sometimes known as demand uncertainty, and it is a serious issue for the people that will be paying, putting up billions of dollars to invest in an NGN. And what this means is that there's going to be a higher cost of capital to reflect the higher risks involved, and that in turn will result in higher access prices for service providers that are wanting to use the new network. And what that in turn is going to mean is that there will be an impact on the level of competition over the NGN. So ultimately, uncertain investors will be tempted to wait and see. They will seek more information so they can assess the risks that they're taking on. Now, IPTV has an established business model and is regarded as an early driver of demand on the NGN. And we've heard a little bit about France today. In France, every ISP has an IPTV service as part of their triple play offering, along with IP telephony and broadband access. And the need to offer a triple play, including IPTV, has kind of moved from being a defensive reaction to a decline in voice revenues to more just an essential part of being able to compete. So what can we expect in a vibrant and competitive IPTV sector? We'll get multiple high-volume early user service providers on the NGN, and they'll be supporting large-scale consumer take-up of the new network. There'll be a wide variety of entry-level pay TV packages, but with also the ability to purchase specific types of content on a standalone basis. Satanta is an interesting company that's emerged over the last few years. It offers sports-only content, and it's a way of differentiating itself from the standard pay TV model, which requires you to buy a basic package of channels before you can move through to the premium content that you really want. In Germany, Deutsche Telekom on their IPTV service has an a la carte offering where you can purchase individual Bundesliga matches. And one of the things that we'll also see is innovative new services which play more to the strengths of the NGN than to the satellite-based TV services that we have today. You will see, for example, video on demand and network-based personal video recorders with far greater capacity than the MySkys, interactivity with audience participation and so on. And undoubtedly, there is an appetite for subscription TV in this country. In 2008, and I got these figures from Rosalie's company, so I hope they're right, New Zealanders spent approximately $400 million on broadband, and in comparison, Sky's annual revenues were $658 million. Of that, $476 million was spent by residential subscribers on their subscriptions. The number of New Zealanders who are broadband subscribers across all ISPs is just a little bit more than the number of Sky TV subscribers, about 750,000 of us. But no matter how advanced the technology, or how superior the quality of service, or how flexible the package, the one thing that really matters to people is what can I watch? And a failure to secure the sort of must-see content will marginalise an IPTV service. Little demand from consumers, which doesn't do much to soothe the demand uncertainty of the NGN investors. Now, in most countries, the good stuff is live football and first-run Hollywood movies. It drives the pay TV business, both in New Zealand and in other markets around the world. In 2008, 82% of Sky subscribers paid the premium to have either a sport or a movie package or both added on to their basic package. And there's strong evidence internationally to suggest that new entrants require access to premium content as a first step in the ladder of investment in order to allow them to compete with pay TV incumbents. Now, in their recent study into this industry, Ofcom in the United Kingdom described premium content as the nucleus around which competitors can build a compelling pay TV offering. So let's just say you were a new entrant in IPTV and you wanted to buy the rugby rights, you wanted to buy access to the All Black games, and you wanted to, so the Tri Nations and the Super 14. You back yourself, it's an open market, you want to go out and get those rights. Now the first thing you'll have to do is you'll have to go and see SANZAAR. It's a grouping of the South African, New Zealand and Australian rugby unions. And we don't know exactly how they're going to sell the rights in the next round for 2011 and beyond. But this is how they've done it in the past. So the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to wait for the rights to come up. But you're lucky because they're coming up soon. Unless there's a right of renewal clause in the existing agreement, which we don't know about, you know, you'll have a shot fairly soon at this. You're going to have to bid for a long-term contract. It was 5 years for the matches last time. The time before it was 10 years. So you better be pretty confident of the demand for your service. You won't be able to pick and choose. You're going to have to buy, the last time, you'll have to buy all the games, including all those interesting games between the Australian and the South African cellar dwellers of the Super 14. You're going to have to buy on a multi-country basis. So the last time, the rights were acquired across New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, United Kingdom. And you're going to have to buy on an all-platform basis. So even if you just want the IPTV rights, you may have to buy the lot. And you're going to have a very friendly bank manager, someone that's a bit hard to find at the moment. The last time, the rights cost $320 million. The time before that, it was $550 million, and that's in US dollars. 10 years ago, you would have been up against, sorry, in the mid-1990s when it first came up, you would have been up against 10 other competitors for these rights. The last time, you would have been up against one company. Why is that? Why was there only one bidder for the rights? And that's because the first mover advantages in this game are enormous. Now, it's no real coincidence, I think, that Sky, Foxtel, Mnet, which is a South African pay TV company, and BSkyB, dominate pay TV in their respective markets. In each case, they've used premium sport and movies to drive their substantial customer bases. In New Zealand, it's 45% of households have access to Sky. They can quickly realise the value of any rights that they acquire. And because they don't have to build up a new customer base, their average content acquisition costs are tiny compared to a new entrant. And it's likely that they'll always pay more for the rugby rights than anyone else, and it puts them in probably an unassailable lead. When the history of pay TV in New Zealand is told, and I don't know whether that's ever going to happen, but let's just say there was, the defining moment will probably be back in 1996 when News Corp won the rights. It was a huge risk at the time. There's no doubt about it. And it was a very brave move. But after that, it was game over. So incidentally, where does the rugby union sit on this? And it's something I'm sure all New Zealanders are concerned about because we're desperate to win the World Cup. But the money's been good for them. There's no doubt about it. But now they're effectively dealing with a monopoly. And in the long run, what they should prefer, I think, is to have a truly competitive market for the rights, rather than dealing with one player. Now, if News Corp wins again next time, it's unlikely that they'll want to sub-license the New Zealand rights to anyone other than their New Zealand affiliate, Sky TV. And similarly in Australia with Foxtel and in the UK with BSkyB. Now, in principle, Sky should be concerned about new IPTV entry as compared to its existing satellite platform. The IPTV platform will have significantly different cost structures and it enables greater innovation than is available through satellites, such as video on demand, as I described before, or anything else that benefits from a reply path. Now, Sky has provided wholesale access to the telcos. Vodafone, for example, has some Sky material on its mobiles, but the mobile platform isn't quite the same threat to satellite, to the Sky platform over satellite, as IPTV will be. Telstra Clear has a retransmission deal which allows them to provide Sky services over their network in Wellington, Kapiti and Christchurch. But it looks as though Telstra Clear is limited in how it can sell those packages, as they look quite similar to the Sky packages. Telecom used to have a resupply deal with Sky. That's expired, and they're no longer promoting them to new customers. We actually don't know much about these agreements. They're confidential. Now, in the UK, where wholesaling isn't currently required by the regulators, the terms of wholesale access provided by BSkyB have been regarded as onerous. Tiscali, which we've heard a little bit about today, has a service called Sky by Wire, and what that does provide some BSkyB content over IPTV, but the quality isn't that great. It's sold at a higher price than the Sky satellite services, and as a consequence, its take-up is poor. Ofcom, the UK regulator, has had an investigation recently, and its preliminary conclusions are that BSkyB limits the distribution of channels to other retailers. You can read that. It sets high prices for that access. Now, Sky has a choice, I think, in respect of the NGN. They can either duplicate their service on the NGN, or they'll phase out satellite and replace it with NGN. Duplicating the service on the NGN risks cannibalising their satellite platform, so that's probably going to be unattractive. But the prospect of a transferred monopoly from satellite to IPTV isn't very appealing. It will be a fill-up to the NGN if Sky goes on to it, but nowhere near as much of a fill-up as if there was a vibrant and competitive IPTV market. Now, these sorts of dynamic and structural issues have been troubling to regulators in other countries, and I'll just give you a little bit of a world tour in the last couple of minutes. So the regulators in a number of other countries have stepped in either at the rights acquisition level to try and change how the content rights are bought and sold, or they have intervened at the wholesale level and required the incumbent pay TV operator to offer a wholesale must-offer service. Now, both remedies are possible in New Zealand. We're a little bit more familiar with the second of those. It's a little bit like what we've come to understand with our experience in telecoms regulation. But as an example of intervention at the rights layer in the UK, the English Premier League was required to split up by the European Commission in 2006. They were required to split up their packages into six, and no one provider could win all the packages. In the time before last, Setanta, which we heard about just before, they won two of them, and the last time, which is only a few weeks ago, they won one, and Sky took the balance. Before they were required to split up these packages in 2006, Sky was the exclusive owner of those rights. So this enabled Setanta to become a fairly serious player in the market. We've talked about their sports-only service, which they offer either direct to consumers or wholesale through other service providers. So you could split the rights across platforms. In Italy, Sky Italia was required to relinquish all of its exclusivity to non-satellite delivered live football over there. Or you could split the rights within one platform, so you had to have multiple service providers being able to offer services for each platform. Now, the other possibility is this wholesale must-offer remedy, which would require the incumbent to either wholesale individual games or individual channels that contain the premium content. This is the approach that is favoured by Ofcom in its current investigation. And in France, Canal Plus, which is the, I guess, the Sky equivalent over there, they're required to wholesale their channels on non-discriminatory terms. And initially, as a result of the News Corp and Telepew merger, Sky Italia was required also to offer the premium channels that they have on non-discriminatory and unbundled terms. So my conclusion, bring it all together now, is that IPTV, the future for IPTV in New Zealand, is far from certain. This will, I believe, trouble NGN investors who will regard IPTV as a promising new service that can be offered over the new network. The subscription drivers for IPTV are really the same as for Sky with its satellite-based pay TV service. A new entrant does require access to must-have content to attract subscribers, and at the moment that content's tied up with Sky. The prospect of limited IPTV competition, I think, is concerning. The likely result, and that's probably going to be the likely result if things stay the way they are at the moment, I think. In countries overseas that we like to benchmark ourselves against, the regulators have stepped in and tried to do something about the market power that comes from exclusive control of this type of content. And really all I'm saying at the moment is that I think we do need to look at this issue in New Zealand. It does need to be examined closely and considered in the context of this overall debate. Thank you very much.